Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, Radio Family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me for the broadcast today. As we concluded yesterday's broadcast, the thoughts that I was sharing referred to God's long-suffering with this generation. It is tragic for those who really love God, and especially have lived a few years as I have, to see what has happened in our nation, the lack of godliness, how far we have fallen from the values of 50 years ago, even 60 years ago. And of course, that is a sign that we are living in the end times. Yet, as God's people, we have a responsibility. We have the privilege of standing up for God and also standing up and defending how He wants things accomplished, His ways, if you will, His will. In other words, the Word of God. Psalm 5 and 5 says, "The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all the workers of iniquity." And beloved, we have to understand how God feels about those who practice lawlessness or wickedness. Yes, He loves the person, but He hates the crimes, the injustices, the pain, the suffering, the unrighteousness that has been inflicted on so many innocent people, victims of crime, victims of political persecution, the ethnic cleansing, the things that have gone on in this earth, how God's heart must weep. And truly, it is becoming as in the days of Noah. And so, beloved, as I shared previously, not only is truth and revelation progressive, but we need to possess and walk in a balance and harmony of divine truth. In other words, we have to know how to love with a divine and godly love. And yet, we also have to take, we can't be milksops, we can't tolerate evil, we have to stand up and call sin, sin. We are in a generation where evil is called good and good is called evil. They label Christians guilty of hate crimes because they're simply standing up for the Word of God. And we need to take our marching orders, our lessons, our positions, and our attitudes need to be formed by the Word of God. And so there are three general areas I'd like to share with you that the church should exhibit intolerance for. And again, I'm not talking about individuals. I'm talking about those who, in ignorance or sometimes willfully and deliberately, will take the stand that they do. You know, as sorrowful as it is, the fact of the matter is that there are many that are on the broad way to destruction. There is good seed and there are bad seed. Bad seed because they have made their choice. They want anything to do with God. And unfortunately, God sent His Son to die so that every person could be brought into the ark of safety. And yet many will commit the ultimate sin, which is basically the refusal of salvation that is offered through the Lord Jesus Christ. They're refusing God's love and His protection. They hate everything He stands for, so why would they want to be in heaven? And they would be most miserable. So God has a place for them called hell with everlasting flames of fire that are reserved for the devil and his angels. So let me share just three general areas that the church should exhibit a real disdain and opposition to those who oppose God. Again, not the individual, but what they are doing, their words, their actions, and those who oppose truth, and thirdly, unrighteousness in the saints. We have come to the place, in fact, I remember this was decades ago, I was told by someone who was visiting our church, we were at on B Street in Hayward at the time, Brother Glass was, that was back in the 80s, and I remember being absolutely shocked to hear some of the iniquity, some of the fornication, as someone was sharing, which was sort of like commonplace in the church they were attending. I couldn't believe it. It's like, how can this be? And so what does it mean when it says God hates something? He hates sin. He hates unrighteousness. Isaiah 61 and 8, I hate robbery for burnt offering. What does that mean? Well, hatred by definition is to feel extreme enmity toward, to have a strong aversion to find very distasteful, to express or feel extreme enmity or active hostility. And of course, that is, there's no unrighteousness in the Lord. He loves the person, but he hates sin, and he hates what sin has done to mankind. Let's look at those, the first area, if will, those who oppose God, those who actually hate God. And the Psalm 139, 21 and 22 says, "Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Am I not grieved?" Another synonym would be loathed or cut to the quick with those that rise up against thee. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Other translations put it this way, with a completeness of hatred, I hate them. I abhor them with a total hatred. With a total detestation. I hate them with a total hatred. Basically, those are very strong words. And beloved, we have to understand that, why am I sharing this? Because we cannot tolerate evil. We cannot countenance evil in the name of, quote, love or tolerance or political correctness. Sin is sin, and it is defined by what God calls sin, not by what we think it is. Verse 23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me." Someone who loves God wants to be delivered from anything that is of iniquity or wickedness or evil. They want to stand pleasing before God. They want to bring joy to their Father's heart. There are those who hate God's righteousness. They're lovers of evil and iniquity. Let me share some passages of the Word that underline this. Psalm 97 and 10 says, "Ye that love the Lord hate evil." That's pretty plain, isn't it? "He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked." The Lord loves those who hate evil. The Revised Standard Version says, "Yahweh loves those who repudiates evil." And we know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but this is a passage in Proverbs you might not hear quite as frequently. Proverbs 8 and 13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate." Other translations put it this way, "Reverence of the Lord despises, hates evil or wickedness. I hate pride, arrogance, wicked behavior, and a perverse and lying mouth." And beloved, why am I sharing this? Because this kind of disdain, this kind of really godly hatred, if you will, that is expressed in the Scriptures, ought to be the great motivating force for our desire to witness, for evangelism. It should propel and compel the church to minister the good news of the gospel. The good news is that Jesus loves them. The good news is that God has prepared a way of salvation. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All should come under his protection, under his loving arms, to be spared from the wrath that is to come. Multitudes in the valley of decision. And beloved, we are those whom God will use to cause them to be redeemed from the coming wrath and judgment of Almighty God. What is the message today? Repent, sinner. The time is late. There may be coming a time sooner than we think that it will be everlastingly too late. Beloved, there is an urgency in the hour in which we're living. There's a lateness of the harvest. We're in the closing moments before the clock strikes midnight. Remember what Jesus did? He loved God. He poured himself out, ministering to those who were outcasts of his day, the society of his day, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, the lepers, those who were abhorred of a polite society, if you will. And in John, the second chapter, verse 17, it says, Jesus made a scourge or a whip. He drove the money changers out of the temple. And it says in John that his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. That's a reference to Psalm 69:9. Beloved, the church has compromised, and I'm speaking to every one of us. I don't expect any one of us really are truly living up to our potential, who are walking in perfect obedience to the Spirit of the Lord. Listen, beloved, all we have to do is look at the church in this nation and look at the condition of our society to say we certainly haven't been doing what God said. God doesn't change what he says in Second Chronicles, the second book of Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Beloved, we've been crying out, talking about revival for decades, but it hinges on us, you and I, on the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're willing to fulfill exactly what the Lord tells us in 2 Chronicles, that 7th chapter. Are we willing to do it? This is a word of conviction for every one of us, and I put myself at the head of the list, beloved. We need to hate sin, and we need to love God and love the sinner with everything in us, that we can manifest the reality of God to this generation before it is everlastingly too late. Praise God. Well, my time has again flown by, and we'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I hope you can be with me. The announcer is going to give our contact information. I do invite you to write. UCM Partners, thank you for your prayer support. Thank you for your faithful finances that enable us to continue on in ministry and remain on this station. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,